I wonder if you could turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7, please. And we'll just be reading the first 14 verses for Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wing. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made it stand upon the feet of a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and raised up itself in one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and these said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld them, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and beheld, one like the Son of Man, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall never pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Amen. When we look at the world today, we see the cruelty of man, the injustice that takes place, and it's very easy for us to forget that there is a sovereign God who sees all, knows all, and is in control. As I say, when we look around, we can easily be tempted to think, where is God? We read in the Bible that on the day of judgment, we will all have to stand before the righteous judge, when the book will be opened and all will be revealed. Romans 14:12. We all stand before the judgment seat of God. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. For the believer, it's not a day of terror, but it's a day of vindication, a day of joy, because our sins have already been judged at the cross. Our works will be evaluated, and we're told that there will be rewards or condemnation. However, for the unbeliever, it will be a revelation of a life that was lived without repentance and without Christ. So far in the book of Daniel, we've seen that God is sovereign. Daniel and his three friends as teenagers were taken from their homes as prisoners to a strange country with customs that were different to what they were accustomed to. They could have questioned the sovereignty of God. However, they faithfully honored Jehovah, worshiping him in a strange land among strange people. God honors those who honor him. Blessed by God, Daniel and his three friends were shown to be better than those around them. Daniel faithfully served God from a teenager well into his 80s. A sovereign God delivered Daniel's three friends from a fiery pit, and he delivered Daniel from the lion's den. In chapter 5, we read of the death of Belshazzar. He failed to take note and to learn from the life of his grandfather. He dishonored God, and he paid the penalty. He was judged. At a party which he had organized for 1,000 people, he dishonored God, using God's holy vessels as ordinary drinking vessels. Now we read in chapter 7 of Daniel's vision in the first year of Belshazzar's reign, a vision that reminds us of the sovereignty of God. Verses 1 to 14, and I say this from a personal point of view, seem to lend itself to three divisions. First division, verses 1 to 6, Daniel's dream and vision. In verses 1 to 3, we're given what might be called an overall of what happens. We're told that Daniel's dream took place in the first year of Belshazzar's reign. And in the first few verses, Daniel gives us that overview of what he dreamt. In his dream, he saw a great storm on the great sea, generally believed to be the Mediterranean. Normally, sailors pay attention to the way the winds were blowing, because apparently, depending on the direction that the wind came from, will determine what sort of trouble they could expect on the sea. We read here that the winds were blowing, if you like, from four directions. Woe to the multitude, this is from Isaiah 17, woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind. Normally, when we read in the Bible of the sea, it normally refers to nations. And in Daniel's dream, where these four winds are blowing, we read that four great beasts, different from each other, came up from the water. The four beasts represents four kingdoms. Some of you may remember from Daniel chapter 2. What we will see here, if you like, is a parallel to what we read of in Daniel 2. The four beasts. First beast was like a lion with wings like an eagle, a representation of power and swiftness of movements. But we read that the wings were pulled off. Unable to fly, the beast was left standing with 2 feet as a man instead of four. A man's heart was given to it. Again, some of you may immediately remember. A representation of the kingdom of Babylon that was in existence when Daniel received his dream. Corresponded to the head of gold of the image in chapter 2. Winged lions were a sort of national symbol of Babylon. Lions and eagles were considered as king of the beasts and king of fowls. A lion is ferocious, and it's a representation of the ferocity and the cruelty of the Babylonian Empire, the domination. Wings often symbolize swiftness of movement. It's a representation of Babylon's conquest of many nations. The wings being plucked and the beast being given a human heart is a picture of Nebuchadnezzar being humble and later offering worship and praise to God. Apparently, after his humiliation, the kingdom stopped conquering and became more humane in their treatment of their captured people. The second beast was like a beast, powerful and vicious, but it had a tendency to be slow. This represented the kingdom of Medo-Persia. Again, seen in chapter 2 as the breast made of arms of silver. As a bear is larger and slower than a lion, So the Medo-Persian kingdom was larger than the Babylonian kingdom, but it was noted for its slower movements. We read there that it raised up itself on one side. Representation of the merger between the two nations. The Persians emerged as the leaders, so if you like, they were raised up on the side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, a possible representation of the capture of Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt. We read that the beast was told to get up and devour much flesh, a sign or a representation of the cruelty and the voracious nature seen in the conquests of the other nations. We read that the third beast was like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl. We also read that the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. This is a representation of the kingdom of Greece. The belly and the thighs of brass seen in Nebuchadnezzar's dream or image. Leopards are noted for their ability to run fast. Two wings on the lion represented swiftness of movement. We read that this third beast had four wings. Again, it's a representation of the swiftness of conquering by the Greek nations, or Greek domination. Under Alexander the Great, Greece conquered most of the civilized world faster than any other civilized nation at the time. After his death, the kingdom was divided into four parts, giving it to four of his generals. We read that he was given dominion, noting the sovereignty of God. Unfortunately or sadly, Alexander did not recognize the blessings of God, and so he failed to give God praise and honor. The fourth beast is described as dreadful, terrible, and exceedingly strong, with great iron teeth. We read that the beasts described were different to each other, but we give example there of beasts that we know. The fourth beast, there is nothing to give an idea of what this beast looked like. We're just told that it was terrible, exceedingly strong, with great iron teeth. It was different to the other beasts in every respect. This fourth beast represents Rome and corresponds to the legs of iron and clay of the image in Daniel 2. We read, it devoured some of its victims, it stamped on others, breaking them in pieces. An image of the Roman Empire, destructive nature, destroying everything that was within its reach. We're also told that the fourth beast had 10 horns. Horns are representative of power. As Daniel was looking at the fourth beast, he saw another little horn, an 11th horn, appear amongst the 10 horns. The 11th horn pushed its way up from the beast's head. It uprooted 3 of the 10 horns. The 11th horn was smaller than the other 10 horns. Even stranger, the little horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, arrogance and blasphemy. The 10 horns represent 10 kings and their kingdoms, and the 11th horn represents an 11th king and his kingdom. According to verse 7 and 8, the 10 horns and the little horn rose out of and was part of the Roman Empire. This indicates that the Roman Empire would experience 3 stages. The first stage is the beast stage. The second stage is the horn stage, and the third stage, the little horn, or the Antichrist stage. I know it's challenging, but that's the scripture we have. Second section, verses 9 to 12. Judgment of the four beasts. Thrones were cast down. Daniel saw thrones cast down. When we think of cast down, we can think, or in our mind, probably think cast down is something that we're throwing away. And so cast down can give the wrong impression. In this case, it does not mean thrown down or overthrown. What we have is a courtroom being set up. The thrones are heavenly thrones being set in place for a divine court session. The Ancient of Days. So far, Daniel's dream, as we've seen it, has been focused on earthly things. The scene now moves to a heavenly setting. And the location is a court of justice. The thrones being set up belong to the Ancient of Days, God himself as the judge, and the heavenly attendants, angelic beings, who will witness judgment being delivered and carry out any decree of the Ancient of Days. Once the court is set up, we read that the Ancient of Days, Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, sat down on his throne in preparation to administer judgment. And we're given a description of the Ancient of Days. We read that his clothes are as white as snow, and his hair was like the pure wool, signifying the purity of his righteousness, his character, and his wisdom. We also read his throne consisted of fire, with wheels of fire, and from him flowed a fiery stream. Fire represents the presence and the glory of God. His glory, in this case, signified a special presence to administer judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. In this case, judgment was going to be administered. We read, books are open, and judgment begins. Daniel saw thousands and thousands of angels serving God. Standing before him were those waiting to be judged, 10,000 times 10,000. As the judgment books were opened, scripture tells us that God keeps record. His judgment is based on the deeds recorded in these books. The books mentioned here are believed to be those mentioned in Revelation 20 verses 11 to 15. But I'll just read verses 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things, which were written in the books according to their works. While God prepared to administer judgment, the attention was held by the great words, not of praise or adoration, but of blasphemy against God. Revelation 13 verses 5 and 6, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacles, and them that dwell in heaven. The result of blasphemy is judgment. As Daniel continued to watch and listen to the blasphemy of the little horn, God executed judgment on the fourth beast, the Antichrist. We read, he was slain and his body destroyed, given to the burning flame. We have a bit of a contrast between the judgment received by the fourth beast and the other three beasts, as with Belshazzar and his grandfather. Nebuchadnezzar's dominion was taken away from the other three beasts, but their lives were prolonged for a season and time. The three kingdoms, Media, Persia, Babylon and Greece, continued to exist as part of the new order, the Roman Empire. Their dominion was taken away, but their influence remained. Since the three kingdoms, Media, Persia, Babylon and Greece, continue to exist as part of the Roman Empire, God's judgment of Rome will result in their final judgment. The destruction of the Antichrist Roman Empire will also be the destruction of the Gentile world dominion. This corresponding in what was portrayed in the dream in chapter 2, when the stone crushed the image feet which represented the Roman Empire. The result was the destruction of the image which represented Gentile world dominion, including Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece and Rome. There are times when we read God's word and it is a challenge for us. The judgment Daniel sees in Daniel 7 verses 9 to 12 is not the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. Daniel's vision shows God judging the final Gentile world ruler and the beastly empires before the kingdom of Christ is established on earth. The great white throne judgment, however, takes place after Christ's 1,000-year reign and is the final judgment of all unsaved of all ages. Daniel's judgment concerns the destruction of the final form of the Roman Empire. A ten king, remember the ten horns? Ten king confederation ruled by the Antichrist during the tribulation. Revelation 19 shows his judgment reaching its climax at the second coming of Christ, when the beast is destroyed and dominion is taken from the kingdom of this world. Our final section, verses 13 to 14, the coming of the Son of Man in glory. Having seen the Ancient of Days take his seat and the final beast judge, Daniel's vision now raises our eyes to the one who will receive the kingdom, the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. The term Son of Man is a description normally applied to Jesus and was used by the Lord Jesus himself. Apparently, it was used 83 times in the Gospels. Must have known, I didn't check it. Who maketh the clouds his chariot. It might seem obvious, but we have presented before us evidence that the Ancient of Days, the Lord God Almighty, and the Son of Man are two distinct figures. They are both deities. Daniel saw a person who was deity incarnated in human form. How many people can fit that description? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. On his arrival, the Son of Man approached the Ancient of Days, the Lord God Almighty. The Son of Man, also known as Messiah, appeared before the Ancient of Days for a definite reason: to receive all rule of earth. The Son of Man had left the glory of heaven, which is rightly his, when he came to earth as man. Now a sovereign God, having ended Gentile world dominion, the earth needed a new kingdom and a new king. Psalm 2 verses 7 and 8, I will declare thee the Lord, and said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. A sovereign God sovereignly gave what was his by right, dominion and glory over all the peoples, to his son to rule forever and ever. The Son of Man was given dominion and glory over all the nations of the world, so that all people of every language must serve him. His power is eternal. It will never end. And his kingdom shall never be destroyed. Worth noting that Daniel's dream portrayed events as if they had already occurred. Most of the dream, from the second beast onward, was prophetic. Daniel received the dream while Babylon, the first beast, was in power. The rule of Media, Persia, Greece and Rome, and the kingdom of God were yet future. The fact that God could foretell the future course of the world with complete accuracy demonstrate his sovereignty over kingdom and history. What can we take away? Let us not forget that God is sovereign. He deserves our worship and praise. He honors and blesses those who honor and obey him. Amen.